Hello and welcome. Wherever you are in the world today, thank you for joining us for the Rise Traveler, unpacking conversations of sustainable travel. We are here to talk to eco-minded and socially conscious travelers, diversity and inclusion specialists, wildlife conservationists, environmental activists, and anyone using travel as a way to uplift and inspire. Together, we will go a step beyond the Instagram-ready world of travel and take a look at how travel can be a source of growth and development for all people and all communities. This podcast is an extension of the Rise Travel Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit committed to empowering young travelers through educational programs, research, study tours, and scholarships. Visit risetravelinstitute.org to learn more. And now, here's your host, Amy Hager.
And today I am super excited to have Laura Kelly, who is joining me from Dublin. So Laura, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and greetings from Dublin.
So I think where we should start our conversation at today is tell us a little bit more about what you do at Brendan Vacations and what you all are all about, because I think that's really, really a great place to start.
Yes. So I have been working for Brendan Vacations for just over five years now. I've grown through a few different roles, but right now I am working with our contracting team, and I work with all of our suppliers to contract our experiences into the system. And then I also load everything into our booking system as well. So it's usually quite busy. Aside from that, I also am part of our sustainability team, where we work to evaluate experiences using the Sustainable Development Goals in order to evaluate, I suppose, if they're sustainable. So we call them Make Travel Matter experiences. That's to do with as well our foundation that is related to our parent company, or as such, we are part of a family of brands called the Travel Corporation, and we have a nonprofit foundation called TreadRight, which help us with all our sustainability efforts as well.
Okay, and so then talk through a little bit more about, well, so that's what you do now, but I think what is also interesting is some of your past life. So how did you get into the whole tour operator, tour guide industry, and what really got you started down this career path?
Well, from an environmental point of view, I started as a child. I have always grown up in a sustainable household, as we like to say. My father, he's retired now, but he was a geography teacher, and he was always involved from the very first year that it began in Caretakers of the Environment International. It's an organization which is all about environmental education, mm-hmm. where we host a conference annually for high school students and for teachers as well. The students will come and they present projects on activities they've undertaken in their hometowns, mm-hmm. and they all listen to each other. They have workshops talking about sustainability and the future of sustainability. And also they share their culture with each other in a cultural night and things like that as well. But I would have been at my first conference was when I was only 6 years old, because my dad hosted the conference in Ireland in 1998. At the time, it was actually a cross-border conference between the north and the south of Ireland. And it's nice because it's come full circle now, because in 2021, my father and I both co-hosted the conference online.
Wow.
And the online conference was for something like about 500 people. So it was a big undertaking. But that's all aside from my work. That's in my spare time, as I like to say, or not so spare time.
Well, so you grew up traveling and in the environment and being, or I guess, environmental focused. But have you gone down that path? I mean, obviously with the work you're doing, you're focused on the environment, but have you done other tour operating gigs or anything that led you to where you are now? Or did you go straight from college into where you are now?
No. So interestingly, I didn't study anything environmental related to college. I actually studied languages and history, followed by tourism.
Okay.
Fun fact, I have a master's in medieval history as well as one in tourism management. So my interests are quite broad. But what I used to do is when I was studying, I worked as a tour guide in the summer. Where I bring tour groups around Ireland, German tour groups, because I speak German. And I suppose through that, I realized that tourism was really something I want. I was always interested in travel, but I hadn't ever really thought of tourism as a career path. But what I did notice when I was on these tours, I noticed a lot of problems as well as obviously a lot of benefits as well. There were definitely some problematic experiences in terms of animal welfare. There was also just the idea of obviously, you know, you stop at a site for half an hour, and what do you bring to the community in half an hour with a busload of German tourists? Not very much is usually the answer. They're usually out, take photos back in the bus. So there were definitely, I was definitely keen to get into the other side of the business, to the operator side, in order to, I suppose, try and change some of those things. So I'm quite glad that these days I don't work with tour groups as such. I work with smaller FIT groups, so that's under 9 guests. So
And so then you went through the Rise flagship program, and talk me through a little bit, because knowing that you grew up in environmental education, but even though you didn't really study that in school, and you do have, you know, you have a wide variety of influences, what I absolutely love. But when you were reflecting a little bit, when you took the flagship program, what came up for you, and what has really impacted or influenced your life as you're continuing to go forward with the work that you do?
Yeah, so I decided to take this program because I heard about it from someone else who was in the Travel Corporation who had done the program and loved it. And I thought, what a better way to combine, I suppose, the two things I love, the environment and tourism. But then what I liked as well was, obviously, there is the aspects that are something like that I would have never covered before. All of the things about ethical tourism, voluntourism, all of these things, they were very different for me, which was good. They weren't topics I had ever thought, I suppose, to look at before. Yeah. And one of the things actually with that was the voluntourism part, because I used to travel as well, because I was doing languages, I would used to try and find something that I could do with languages, but that also linked to, for example, history. So I worked a couple of summers with the German War Graves Commission to restore war graves. But when we studied voluntourism, I'd always thought, oh, that was a great thing to do. It's really brought benefit. But then voluntourism, that module made me think, but why did we have to travel from, you know, the different parts of Europe we were in? Why did we have to travel there to do that? Why couldn't it be local people? Is there not a better way to do this? But it's always been a bit of a strange one, because on the other hand, I could see the benefit from an educational point of view, because we did things like workshops on war and conflict and different things as well. So it's hard to see those now as fully positive things, but it's good to like look back and evaluate. I suppose the other thing then would be, I thought particularly, I suppose, the introduction module on sustainability, I thought, oh, this will all be stuff I've heard before. Like, this is not going to be anything new. It'll be the three pillars of sustainability, etc. But then we looked into things like the five domains of sustainability. And that was something that was just totally new. It made me realize that maybe, I suppose, the way that we evaluate our Make Travel Matter experiences with the Sustainable Development Goals, maybe that's not enough. Maybe it's too narrow. Maybe we need to look at first, I suppose, things like the collective mindset and sustainability of our guests, something that maybe we don't look at enough.
Yeah. And so then when you think about the work that you're doing right now, what are you doing that's really exciting that that may even relate to some of what you studied in the flagship program?
Yeah. So right now, I suppose the thing I'm most proud of from the last year is I've been working a lot closer with suppliers. And one of those things has been, I suppose I can think of one supplier in particular. They're called Celtic Ways Ireland. And basically I worked with them to try and develop an experience, a sustainable experience, because I knew that that is what they're all about, but they just needed some help with, I suppose, crafting something that's going to work for our guests. But the interesting part is, how did I meet these people? I met these people because the main guy, Phil, he actually used to teach with my mother. And he went off and he did a master's in spirituality. So something totally different again. So, and then he decided, because he, his partner used to work in hospitality, they went, maybe let's set something up where we can do things like walk the Waterford Camino Way, and we can encourage people to slow down when they come on holidays, to slow down, to look at nature, to really appreciate nature. So we worked together to create three different experiences for our guests that while they do work, because our guests tend to like sort of half day experiences, things like that, it'll encourage them to slow down and to just take a breath in their very, usually very busy schedule, and just take the time out to be mindful of their surroundings, and also to just appreciate the stunning nature, obviously, that Ireland is so famous for.
And so then you had mentioned that usually the groups that you're taking on tours are smaller sized groups, and being able to get them to slow down, be more mindful, enjoy the walks, and really getting them to appreciate the nature. Do you see this model working well with other tours that you, that maybe you have now, that you can tweak or adjust and make more, I guess, sustainable and slow for the future? Is that kind of where you're going with this?
Yes, that's what we're trying to develop. I suppose in Ireland, it's a little bit easier. We do have some other suppliers who, I suppose, particularly we have one in Northern Ireland I can think of that we would do a similar idea. He brings them to the Giant's Causeway and he tells them all about the communities that live there. And, you know, again, people are slowing down. They're taking the time to really look, not just hopping off a bus, taking a picture and leaving again. So in Ireland, that is a little bit easier. What we're really trying to develop, I suppose, in the next few years is to try and do the same in Scotland, because we work in Ireland and Scotland. And Scotland is just, in general, I suppose, a little bit behind when it comes to sustainability in comparison to Ireland. Ireland, I have to say, they're pretty organized. And it has definitely been a topic of conversation with tour operators, with the tours ministry for many years now, whereas Scotland's more so kicking off that in the last year or so. So we're trying to also work with our Scotland suppliers to try and develop those sort of experiences, so that hopefully people can also slow down in Scotland as well. And again, Scotland is known for its beautiful, beautiful scenery. So why not take the time to really appreciate it, not just, you know, drive through it and see it out the car window?
Yeah, no, slow down and really, really enjoy it. And so then when you look at the, let's say, look at your crystal ball in the future of travel and tourism, you know, specifically there in Ireland, you're talking about some of the changes and impacts that you've made. I mean, what do you see for the future specifically there in Ireland?
So interestingly, if I think back to the paper that I actually wrote for the Rise program,
your capstone project.
Exactly. My capstone project. I wrote about, can we or should we get rid of sort of that bucket list mentality? Should we try and, or should we try and adapt it to try and see if that would help things in tourism, to make it, you know, so that we don't have these honeypots where all of the tourists go and, you know, don't really bring benefit to the community. So I suppose what I would hope for and what I think is starting to happen, and hopefully will start to happen more in Ireland at least, is that we look towards, I suppose, regenerative tourism, not just sustainable tourism, and that especially we move towards those authentic smaller experiences that really benefit the local community. Like, what, why just go to the cliffs and pop out and take a picture when you could go to hike along the alongside the cliffs with a local expert who can tell you all about the cliffs, their heritage. You can learn about the myths and the stories from the people who live and work there as well. So that's what we're hoping, that we move away from, I suppose, this mass tourism. And I suppose the other thing with that is that I hope that tour operators will take responsibility in trying to help make that happen as well, because they definitely have the power. That's what I discovered through my project, that is definitely something that they have a lot of power to do.
Yeah. And so then if the tour operators are willing to change their mindset, and again, going back to the slow tourism concept of, instead of just doing drive-bys and taking photos and going to the major you know, sightseeing or overlooks or whatever it may be labeled, and pausing and really spending quality time in there, that's really where that shift is going to be coming from, it seems like.
Yes, exactly. And I think one of the things that tour operators can definitely do, and it's something that we're starting to do as well, is definitely look towards changing itineraries so that, you know, if you have an itinerary that you feature on your website that you book for most of your guests, try and put a couple of those experiences on there, test the waters. Most of the time you'll find that they come back and they've enjoyed it more, that they remember it more, that they appreciated it more. So that's what we're trying to do at the moment. But it's just a matter of hoping that other tour operators, I guess, follow our lead and do the same as well. There are some I know in Ireland, but hopefully more and more will do that.
That makes sense. And so then when you think about the legacy you want to leave behind this world, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, so I think it's, the whole thing is, right, sustainability in the environment, that doesn't have to be science. That doesn't have to be, you go into a scientific career. That was always something that I suppose worried about when I was, you know, at these conferences as a student. I was going, oh, this is great, but everyone's going into science. My sister included went into science. Yeah. But I think it's about knowing that, and I suppose teaching the other young people around the world, which is what I've been attempting to do, I suppose, since I've come back as an alumni to Caretakers of the Environment. I've been trying to get them to see that sustainability is more than science. It's the environment is more than science. You can bring your sustainability into whatever role you choose to go, whatever path life takes you down. You can just bring that into your role.
I like that. So sustainability isn't always science, and you don't have to have a science education to make sustainable change. And Laura, you are like proof in the pudding right there. Well, thank you for joining me and talking about your experience with the RISE flagship program and talking about your experience in the industry, because I really do. I think the point that you're bringing up about slow tourism, being able to enjoy and really be in a space more and not just going and checking off that bucket list and getting the photo, I think I see it too. I think that's the shift that's really coming down. And I love that you're helping leading that charge. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And that brings us to the end of our journey today. And if you've liked what you heard and you want to hear more, make sure that you subscribe, like, or comment. You can follow us at RISE Travel Institute on Facebook and Instagram. We are on all of your favorite podcast channels and even on YouTube. And here at the RISE Travel Institute, we do believe that travel is a powerful tool for positive, transformative change. And if you are a maybe college student planning to study abroad, or even a professional like Laura, who's looking to make a bigger impact in this world and to dive deeper into sustainability, or really anyone who is currently traveling and wants to understand how to travel in a more sustainable way, we do encourage you to head on over to risetravelinstitute.org for more information on our educational courses and our upcoming flagship program. And we will be back soon with another episode. But until then, keep roaming, keep learning, and continue to be a RISE traveler. Bye-bye.
This podcast is an extension of the RISE Travel Institute, a 501c3 nonprofit committed to empowering young travelers through educational programs, research, study tours, and scholarships. Visit risetravelinstitute.org to learn more.